a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Senate Tax Committee. Sorry for the delay. A little bit of coordination problems, or not necessarily problems, opportunities, I guess. Several bills being presented by committee members, both here and away. Again, welcome. Ask the Secretary to call the roll, please.
Senator Adelstein? Senator Howey?
Here.
Senator Gerstad?
Here.
Senator Maher?
Here.
Senator Merchant?
Here.
Senator Nelson?
Here.
Senator Peterson?
Here.
Senator Frisley?
Here.
Senator Hansen?
Here.
All present.
Okay, we have a quorum. Could we have a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting? Moved by Senator Gerstad, seconded by Senator Merchant. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We have three bills on the calendar this morning. We will start with Senate Bill 94, and we may have to just stand by for a little bit because the prime sponsor is on his way over from another committee meeting. But in the meantime, let me admonish you to be sure and sign the guest register at the door so that we can get your name spelled right. Also, if you have a cell phone, we would really appreciate it if you would turn it off. And let's see, I believe with that in mind, I also have a bill that I need to present, and so I will hand the gavel over to Vice Chair Frisley. And again, just kind of stand by for a minute or two until Senator Klocek gets here and we can start in on Senate Bill 94.
Senator Klocek, would you like to introduce Senate Bill 94 and tell the people on the, who you are and thank you. Do you need the pages to hand those out, Frank? Senator Klocek, do you have your mic on, please?
Sorry. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Anyway, one of the main reasons we feel that Senate Bill 94 is needed is for the purpose of developing and encouraging, enhancing more of these small wind towers in South Dakota. We have Doug Alk is here from his company, and Jen Pro from Rapid City are two individuals or two groups that sell these towers and promote them and think that it's a good asset for our state. And we encourage your favorable support for this legislation. I do have another handout. And this talks about 10.4.3.36, which is the wind energy properties with less than 5,000 kilowatts of nameplate capacity are taxable, and this would simply provide an exemption to that. And you're going to hear testimony, well, we've already got a five-year rebate program, and I think that that's okay to a point, except we talked to some assessors and deputy assessors, and they would just as soon. It's not that much for dollars, and it costs a lot of money for those people to assess that property and time, and is it really worth it? And on the other end, it is worth it to the builders and to the users that purchase those products. They don't have the hassle of having that on their tax forms. They don't have to worry about paying something that really is a benefit both economically, socially, and for using electricity, which is a mainstay in our nation's energy supply system. It's a great asset, a great tool that we need to develop. On that second page of the handout strictly talks about the property tax rates in several different towns and statewide on their mill levies, for informational purposes. The first handout does talk about the type of towers we're talking about here. You see that? That's the kind they're called sky streams or similar products, and what they can do in your backyard. And of course, right now it's a long-term payback. I've seen anywhere from 7 to 14 years payback on some of these, and maybe longer. But if the electricity rates stay where that or go up at all, then payback will even be sooner. And there's many values to doing this. Again, why are we always giving tax breaks to the big corporations, ladies and gentlemen? Why do we always have to give tax breaks to the multi-mega million-dollar corporations? When are we going to help mom and pop, the local small businessmen and women, and our individual homeowners, our individuals, our taxpayers here in South Dakota? That's the question facing this committee, and it's time we take a proactive step doing something what's good and right for the people of South Dakota. And with that, I would rest and ask for rebuttal. Of course, I'm aware there's going to be just a tiny amount of opposition to this legislation at this time. So,
at this time, we would allow questions of Senator Klocek or each person that testifies as we go on. So, are there any questions of Senator Klocek? Yes. Pardon?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Klocek, I so appreciate you bringing this bill. I'm wondering, would you say from your research that right now it would be cost prohibitive for individual homeowners to have their own windmills on their homes?
No, that wouldn't be a case. In some cases, yes, but say they cost $13,000, $14,000 now. They get about a $2,400 to $4,000 federal tax credit. In our state, that brings it down to around $9,000 or $10,000. What this is an incentive. It's more. It could be anywhere from $50 to $150 every year off of their taxes. So, to say that they're prohibitive, no. The main reason is the payback period, if that's keeping them from purchasing them.
Yes, Senator.
Just a quick follow-up. I've been told by a number of folks in South Dakota that have talked to me about this that the cost prohibitive aspect is the daily or day in and day out, month in and month out costs. They don't get anything or much of anything back. That's what I'm talking about. Then they say, well, we spend X amount of dollars, which is quite a few, to install this. Really don't under our system in South Dakota because other forms of energy are cheaper than wind right now, so they don't get anything back.
Point. I would agree with that statement, Mr. Chairman. Senator Gerstad, you are right, and part of that is the net metering aspect, which we don't have, and other incentives that other states provide as well. Some states have some more opportunities. I think some other speakers will talk about that. They have more information on that. Thank you. You are correct.
Further questions? Yes, Senator Merchant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Klocek. I'm very intrigued by the concept of homegrown energy, and I think we need to start moving more in that direction. And, of course, a lot of these, there's many variations that these can take hold, such as schools and community development and partnerships, cooperative efforts where people pool money to build these. And I do view this as a very good incentive. I would ask you a few questions. Okay. How many of these types of operations exist, and do we exempt any other operations in other industries that are similar, such as maybe biodiesel operations? Do we have an allowance where we exempt up to a certain point? And what is the rebate program?
Okay, we'll try and take them one step at a time here. You're very good. Good questions. Okay, the first one was the...
How many exist?
I'm not sure the other folks can talk about that. I do know the one in Rapid City in this testimony said they sell only 40 or 50 in South Dakota a year of these type systems. In other states, they sell thousands.
Okay.
And the second question?
The second was, do we have any other comparisons in other industries that would be... you know, maybe biodiesel or up to a certain
yes.
point.
Well, and I could defer to the expert on the ethanol industry. There are some rebates for ethanol, soy diesel. There's some for the large wind towers. There's some special tax incentives and exemptions.
But what
for
about
those
small
as well.
Operations?
Not really.
Okay.
Not as much as we'd like. Not really. There's very little.
And what is the rebate program?
Okay, the federal program, and some other people talk about it, I believe it's a tax incentive where the federal government gives it off your taxes for purchasing one of these. I believe that's the way it is. It's around, it's as high as $4,000, but most of them it's around $2,400.
Any further questions of Senator Klocek?
Okay, I'll be around for questions. I have another bill in another committee, but I'll try and stay for most of this. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further proponents of Senate Bill 94?
Okay. Good morning, Chairman and Committee. My name is Douglas Alk. I'm an installer and dealer with SkyStream Systems and also a proud owner of a SkyStream system in my place. I'm here to testify on my behalf of to help with programs to subsidize these wind turbines for this area and to support Senate Bill 94. In my situation is when you go to these farm shows and listen to these farmers and residential people talk to you, they ask, what is the payback, like Senator Frank mentioned to us, and why isn't South Dakota offering more rebates for the payback? And I would like to see a lot more support, not just financially, but just promoting the wind energy for small residential people. I myself noticed big changes in the system that I have in my place here. And my payback is going to be anywhere from 5 to 7 years. There are a lot more rebates out there, as Frank Klocek said, not just for residential, but for commercial. Commercial right now has a green tag rebate where they put a meter in the bottom of the turbine, they can draw 2 cents per kilowatt, but that's commercial or corporation, not residential. And this way, if we can have something to help the residential people that want to harvest their own wind and cut the cost in their own home, also cut the cost of high peak demands from the electric company, which we hear monthly about, I'll be in favor of that. But I hear hundreds of people talking to me about we need more rebates, some tax rebates or any way to help us to purchase these systems. They're not cheap to put in. they range anywhere from $12,000 to $18,000, and that depends on the height of the tower and the travel and the foundations. This all adds to expense. So I encourage you to support Senate Bill 94. Do you have any questions for me?
Are there any questions? Yes, to Senator Adelstein.
Could you tell us, please, what the $12,000 that you just described, how much cost of electricity would this save for the homeowner that had installed it at the usual rate per year?
It'll save anywhere per month about 800 to 1,000 kilowatt hours per month.
9,600 kilowatt hours. And what's the average cost?
Of the turbine?
And what's the average cost per kilowatt hour per week? How much money will it save the homeowner?
It'll save anywhere from 40 to 50% of their electrical costs. Depends how much electricity they use per month. See, some places may use 4,000 kilowatts, and it may only save about 20%.
And how much would that bill be? I'm trying to get the number of dollars.
Dollar-wise?
Get as a return on, I guess I'm not being clear. I'm trying to see how much money will they get per year as a return on their investment in this $12,000 plant.
They may get anywhere from $1,000 to $1,200 per year.
Thank you very much.
Senator Merchant.
Thank you, sir, for your testimony. I have a question in regards to a larger picture. Do you view that you are doing a large part in helping to promote greenness? You talk about an attitude, and I'd like to hear more about that. If, you know, the choice to build one of these operations, and, you know, that's a big decision to make because it's a lot of money. And do you think that you are... Tell us how you feel about playing your role in making, you know, things more green.
My role making more things green are very supportive of it because I like to see us cutting down back on coal-burning furnaces, but also harvest the wind because we're one of the top five windiest states in South Dakota. And why should we have to have the large wind farms have all the tax benefits when we ourselves as small residential people can harvest winds ourselves? I have farmers over in Iowa that are talking about putting three or four small wind systems up just to harvest the wind themselves. And, you know, they're supporting me in, like, the green movement also. But they just want to, like, supply their own electricity, basically. That's what most people are telling me. Not so much green, but most supply their own electricity. Because a lot of them look towards if they power goes out, they have a backup power somehow to get produce electricity. I had a few gentlemen over in Sioux County asked me that I need something to power my hog barn. If power goes out, I'm out. I may lose about 200, 300 hogs. You start adding that money up. That costs a firm a lot of money, so if we could harvest the wind, they said, we'll do something like that. Did I answer your question, madam?
Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. When you're quoting a cost of the machine, does that include the connection to the grid?
That's everything, yes.
That's everything. Do you have any follow-up of me? Do you have any problem with the devices that you're selling with electric companies accepting them?
Sometimes. It all depends which cooperative you're working with. Everyone has a different look at the system.
Is your system the one at Union Center?
No, mine's down by northwest of Yankton, South Dakota.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions? If not, I have one. What is the life expectancy of one of your systems?
They're prorated the last 20 to 30 years.
Any further questions?
Okay. I guess that's... Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Any further proponents of Senate Bill 94?
our dream is to one day buy an electric car, and then we plan to make our 9-mile commute to town using the energy captured from the wind. Now, I support Senate Bill 94 because I think the state of South Dakota should offer incentives to people who decide to make environmentally conscious investments. I do not think it makes sense to tax people who install small wind turbines. When residential renewable energy systems are assessed as property improvements, they can significantly drive up landowners' tax liability. I urge you to partially exempt residential systems from property taxes that are more applicable to utility-scale wind projects. By supporting Senate Bill 94, you are stimulating individual investments in small turbines. When my family installs our turbine, we will be spending between $12,000 to $15,000. My family does not plan to make money off the turbine, and realistically, we won't until the real costs of fossil fuel generation are exposed. Instead, we are motivated by our interest in reducing our carbon footprint, serving as an example, and educating others about alternative energy. Many people who install small turbines are making financial sacrifices for the good of their community and the environment. I urge you to support these individuals by choosing to relieve them from some of the property taxes on their turbine's base, foundation, tower, and substations. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. Are there any questions of Ms. Johnson? Seeing no questions, thank you very much for your testimony. Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Hawley.
I'm just a little slow. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You made reference to the tax implication for someone installing one of these systems. Do you have any idea how many tax dollars it would save your family?
I'm not. We're kind of in our beginning stage. We're currently looking at the SkyStream 3.7 wind turbine. We're still in the initial stages of, I guess, determining the turbine and then, you know, trying to find someone to install it for us.
Thank you. Further questions? If not, well, thank you very much for your testimony. Any further proponents? Again, would you please check the mic there and make sure that light is on? So, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Frank James, and I'm representing Dakota Rural Action. We come in support of Senate Bill 94. I believe that this is an important move by the Senate to show support for small turbines. Recently, there's been debate about how we're going to solve our energy crisis, where the technology is going to come from, if it's going to come from large think tanks or from research that goes on in garages. And probably somewhere in the middle is the case. But what you would be doing here is supporting a lot of garage researchers, I think. You just heard from Carrie about what her family plans to do with their turbine. That's kind of a unique solution to both electrical energy and transportation problems. And I think we could learn a lot by supporting this sort of development in the state. And in a state that has this kind of wind capacity, we need to spend a little bit of our resources and really our attention towards the smaller producers and towards their needs. And Dakota Rural Action believes that this would be a good step in moving that direction. Thank you very much. If you have any questions.
Any questions of Mr. Frank Jones? Seeing none, thank you very much for your testimony. Further proponents of Senate Bill 94. If not, we would move to opponents. Opponents of Senate Bill 94.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Hunter Roberts, speaking to you on behalf of the Governor's Office of Economic Development. I guess our position against Senate Bill 94 is it's an incentive that we already provide Currently in South Dakota statute, SDCL 10.6, 35.8 through 18, we do provide a renewable energy resource system tax credit. That tax credit for this type of system would be, what you do is you apply for the tax credit. It's a very simple form. Could I have a page hand that out? Very simple form that you can get on the Department of Revenue and Regulations website. It goes into what sort of cost your system cost. And the nice thing about it is you get to include total construction cost. And what's done is it's a prorated situation where what this bill addresses, it would allow for the first 3 years 100% carve off of those taxes, that assessed value on your property taxes, and then the next 3 years it'll be a diminishing return, 75% for year four, 50% for year five, and 25% for year six. So it kind of hits you hard up front with the full tax, the tax reduction, and then scales back. Just to answer Senator Merchant's question, do we provide incentives? This current legislature, or the current law in South Dakota, does provide for ethanol facilities this very same tax rebate for a residential system. It allows biomass, it allows solar and geothermal. So this includes all the renewable energies, not just wind. To kind of get into, I guess, what's kind of been danced around somewhat is cost. What are these things cost, and what's the payback? Currently, if you buy a new system under South Dakota laws, the paybacks aren't very good. It's not a lot of dollars. One issue with this bill is I don't think it's going to change the payback that much to make a difference for a bunch of people to go out and install these systems, unless they're doing it just on their own will, like Ms. Johnson's family, who's doing it because it's what their ideals are, it's what they believe in, and they want to be a leader on this. The changes made in Senate Bill 94, in my opinion, aren't going to make that much difference in people making that purchase. Those ideals still stand there. I think we have a good incentive in place. Let's keep it in place and keep it uniform with the way we treat other renewables. So I urge you to defeat the bill. I'll be available for questions. Thanks.
Are there any questions of Hunter Roberts? Mr. Howley.
Senator. Thank you. Howley. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Clarify for me, is the current form that you're using, is that an application for a rebate or an application for an abatement of real estate taxes?
I believe it's for an abatement of the property tax, but you have to apply during the first year of construction. So essentially you would get a carve-off of those taxes is the way I understand it. Michael Kenyon from Department of Revenue and Regulation is here if you want to ask more questions about the property tax side of it, if I didn't answer your question.
Senator Howard, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm curious. What this bill does is eliminate the assessment. And do I understand correctly that rather than eliminating an assessment, you'd be in favor of having the taxpayer file an application through the state government and fill out this form, as opposed to just eliminating the tax, letting it stop at that?
I guess to answer your question, yes, I would be in favor of just of having them file this form. It keeps everything uniform as far as all our other small-scale renewables. Does that answer your question? One follow-up note on that. I guess if the assessors have an issue with this, why aren't they here? If it's that big of a hassle, they have representation that lobby for them. Why aren't they here arguing for this bill? Why aren't they a proponent for this bill?
Further questions? Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you refresh us on 10.6.35.8? Is there limitations on the value of the installation in that piece of legislation, that law, that statute?
I guess the germane portion, I don't think there is a limit. The limit would be your residential use, as this bill would do with limits to residential use. So that limit would be there's not many households that are using 5 megawatts of power.
Follow-up, if I may. What about out on a farm where there's a lot more use?
Well,
is it just limited to the household, or is it limited to
yes,
what kind of limits do we have?
It's limited to the house, but then if you're using it for the agriculture property, then it's eligible for the 50% rebate for the first 3 years, and then the scaled back the next 3 years. So there's kind of a joint deal here. I believe Senate Bill 94 treats it exactly the same too. Residential would be for your home, not for your ag property.
One more follow-up. Do the county commissioners, does the county have the right of refusal?
I don't believe so. They can dispute it, but they do not have the right of refusal.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Jurstedt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning. I have a question in terms of, could you do a little comparison for us in terms of the amount of money we're talking about here between your system of application for tax credit and this system, which declassifies, I guess, the wind turbine for, you know, the local use. What kind of monies are we talking about, both in terms of maybe benefit for the homeowner and what you would be receiving in the department?
Well, I'll take a crack at this, I guess. When you look at the benefits, of course, it's going to depend on your system installation, what's your construction cost is. The way this bill is, it just exempts $30,000. So if you have, let's say, a larger system, maybe the other system would be better for you. If you have a small system, then possibly this would be good for you. I think the local average county property tax assessment mill levy rate in South Dakota is right around that 0.2%, just a touch over 2%. So you're looking at installed cost of $18,000. Carve that off 2% is going to be, that's public math is not my forte. $360. If you take the up to $30,000, then of course that would be totally exempt under the so that $360 would not be applicable. Under the current provision, it would be the $360 would be exempt 100% for the first 3 years, and the next 3 years would be scaled back to 75, 50%, and 25%. If we get into the larger system, say your system costs $60,000, you're going to be paying, why am I getting into this again? Is it $600? $600. Well, your assessed value is going to be under, that gap between the $30,000 and the, that would be exempt in Senate Bill 64 and the $30,000 additional, that would be applicable under current law, so you're looking at, you know, $380 and then for $400 or whatever, so there'd be a $200 gap kind of in that range of the difference, if that makes sense. You know, like I said before, this bill probably isn't going to make the difference for price on these unless you get a used turbine and get it installed cheap. Far as under our current laws, it's not going to be the tipping point, in my opinion. There's still not going to be, the economics aren't going to be as pretty as, I guess, all of us would hope.
Yes, Ms. Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one quick follow-up. I think, you know, I was going to ask you a question, but I don't think it would be fair about, say, the use of the new light bulbs that save a lot of energy. But if all of us used one of those in our house, not even all, but just one, you know, in the United States, we could light an entire city. So you know, when we're talking a little bit, it's probably a good idea to do a little bit. Everybody did a little bit. Nobody would have to do a lot. Would you agree with that?
Mr. Chairman? I would agree with you. I think the megawatt, you're talking about energy efficiency, is the lowest cost, the best thing that we can all do. We can all actively play a role in it and would support that 100%. And I hope the rest of us will, too. It just makes economic sense today for all of us to do that. Even if you're just too lazy to get up and change your light bulbs as much, they last 7 years versus getting up on a ladder every 2 years, that's a lot easier.
Further questions? Seeing none, are there further opponents to Senate Bill 94?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Bob Wilcox with the County Commission Association. Senator Peterson actually probably hit the nail on the head on our position. We're approaching this as from an economic standpoint. The times of that we're in right now, it's extremely tough for us to meet our local budgets. And as it's been indicated to the committee, if this bill does pass, this becomes an unfunded mandate that the county commissions all across the state are going to have to go ahead and permit these tax exemptions. Therefore, we ask you to resist this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions, Senator Howey?
Question for Mr. Wilcox before he slips out the back door.
Yes, sir.
I'm curious when you say it's an unfunded mandate. Explain to us what this will cost the counties, because my understanding is that it's not a mandate that will cost. It's just a mandate that will not allow an assessment on a private expenditure. Am I close?
Mr. Chair, may I?
Yes, sir.
Thanks for the question, Senator. By granting a tax incentive, we have a void because the taxes are not paid, correct? That's where we're coming from. Because anytime we do that, there is, with the lack of the tax revenue coming back into the county coffers, this is what we're talking. Therefore, to me, I view that as we have no local option. If this was permissible, if the county commissioners may grant this or deny this request, then I wouldn't be sitting in this chair. But according to Mr. Kenyon, when the question was asked by Senator Peterson, we do not have that leeway. Does that answer your question? Thank you.
Further questions? Senator Merchant.
Mr. Wilcox, thank you.
Good way to get exercise.
Oh, that's good. Yes.
Thank you. I was wondering, do you have any larger operations, wind energy, ethanol plants that also receive mandates that wouldn't allow for taxes to be collected, and what would those maybe be, and what could those put on our books?
Mr. Chair, Senator, I would like to, if Mr. Roberts is available to answer that question. I think he'd be better. If not, he probably will send it to someone else, but I'm sure there are. I don't have the number.
Welcome, Mr. Kenyon.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Michael Kenyon, South Dakota Department of Revenue and Regulation, and my green light is on. There are a number of programs that have tax incentives for sort of green energies, for energy development projects. There's a few sort of, if I could generalize all of them, and there's many of them, but if I could generalize the provisions of all of them, they're that the program has to, the development has to pay some sort of tax. In, for example, with the large wind energy system that was created last year, they're immune from the, or exempt from the normal property taxes, but they pay an in lieu of tax, which is sort of a two-part tax based upon their nameplate capacity and the actual power that they generate. So they pay something.
Follow-up.
Are these for-profit operations? And would you think that the small operations, are they for-profit in your mind?
Mr. Chairman?
Sir.
The larger programs are certainly for-profit, clean wind energy profit. I think there's certainly profit to be had in the smaller systems as well. You heard from the gentleman who installs the system. I assume that he makes a profit when he installs them.
Yes.
But in the actual operation, once they're sold to the owner, are they for profit?
Mr. Chairman, sure. Under this bill and under the current property tax incentive that Hunter explained, you can't sell the energy for profit.
Senator Hawley.
Thank you. I'm just curious if you can tell us when one of these systems is installed, does it create sales tax or excise tax revenue?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not the sales tax or excise tax expert. I don't know about the excise tax. I would assume that the transaction is sales taxable.
Further questions? Senator Gerstead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The wind towers that are exempt, or the property is exempt from taxes in our state, are those mainly out-of-state companies, or are we talking about in-state companies?
May I take this one?
Sure, please.
Hunter Roberts again. I guess there's several ways to look at it. Who's buying electricity, and then who's building the project and operating the project? Florida Power and Light is an out-of-state company. They're down in Florida. They're a publicly traded company on the stock exchange. Acciona, which is the McPherson County wind project, they're out of Spain. They're a Spanish company, but they're actually selling their electricity on the grid primarily, so it serves all of us. The FPL project, which I spoke about earlier, is in Highmore. Basin Electric is the power purchase of that. They have a 20-year agreement, so they're buying that wind power and serving local load. The Iberdrola projects in Brookings and Dual County, those are have several different ownership structures. That was developed by Iberdrola, which is another Spanish company. The power is purchased by, the first project was purchased by XL Energy, which serves local in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, a large area. And then the second farm, I guess, is going to serve actually consumers in Indiana. They're going to wheel it all the way to Indiana and serve consumers there. So does that answer your question?
Yes, Senator.
Yes, I just have a follow-up. I guess I'm making an observation that we have out-of-state companies and out-of-the-country companies coming in and making a good deal of money off of our resource, which is wind, and we're giving them a tax rebate, an excuse from paying taxes, which kind of grates a little bit since all of us are paying a lot of taxes. And then why wouldn't we also give this kind of a tax rebate, the real estate? We're just talking about new building here. We're talking about a little, something put onto the property, which would be a new source of tax, not something that we've ever had. Why wouldn't we also give that local person a tax rebate if we're giving the out-of-state and out-of-the-country tax rebates?
Mr. Chair?
Sure.
Well, I guess these foreign companies are investing multi-millions of dollars in South Dakota. They're paying multi-millions of dollars in taxes in South Dakota. So they are investing in South Dakota. They are, I guess, somewhat invested in South Dakota. They are paying taxes in South Dakota. I guess I'm not arguing against providing incentives for small wind farm or small wind turbines. I'm saying that we already have incentives in place for small wind turbines, and we don't need to just create a special exemption just for these type of wind farms or wind turbines.
One more follow-up, and then I think I need to kind of caution you that, this is going a little beyond just testimony on the bill. And go ahead and ask a question, then we'll move if there's any other opponents.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is it my understanding that your type of tax rebate goes away after 3 years, and this one continues on? Is that true?
Yes, it is. It doesn't go away after 3 years. It diminishes after 3 years. So, and the difference on, I guess, this property tax rebate is it allows, or the tax rebate that's in place allows for the full construction cost of the wind farm to be rebated. Whereas, you know, when you're assessed your value, you're not going to get, you know, when it's assessed, it's probably not going to be worth its full on face value with your assessment.
Okay, are there any other opponents to Senate Bill 94? Any other opponents to Senate Bill 94? I would welcome the prime sponsor a brief opportunity for some rebuttal.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, there was a lot of information given in the oppositioning testimony, and I'd just like to cover it briefly, just a little bit of it.
Yes, please be very brief.
This is a paperwork nightmare for these people. You heard it yourself. If you want assessors to write letters, we'll get them. They've all told me that they don't need the paperwork, and the paperwork cost is almost, and in some cases, more than the actual tax they're collecting on these sites. The other issue is they're not getting built now, so how can they tax them if they're not being built? The paperwork nightmare, you saw the evidence. The good person had, Hunter had a little problem figuring it. The $100 savings, the figures are complicated. Tax abatement, there's no cost to the county with this legislation, zero. It's a strict tax abatement. Actually, the figures that were presented are wrong. With two towers at $15,000 apiece, total $30,000, that would be approximately $500 in exemptions to $600. The other issue, multi-millions of dollars are leaving the state now. This money would stay in the state with the people, generating through our economy seven times. And I just ask for your support on this. The other issue, this is not an unfunded mandate. This isn't, that statement was outright wrong. This is actually an opportunity to do what's right for our working people, our local investors, and our people that feel really doing the right thing for South Dakota. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate Local Government Committee, these people are quibbling over peanuts when we should be making smooth, reliable, healthy peanut butter by harvesting our wind for the good of our local tax-paying citizens. And I ask for your favorable consideration and due pass on Senate Bill 94. Thank you.
Okay, with that, we'll open to committee discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Adelstein.
The gentleman who sells the objects said that they would cost between, it would cost $12,000, and the savings would be between $1,000 and $1,200 a year, depending on how much electricity. That means that the investor, the homeowner, the person who sets it up, is going to receive either somewhere between 8 and 10% return on investment. I think that's an adequate reward in today's economy for such an investment, and to completely add, to completely remove the tax burden as an addition to the profit, I think would be an unreasonable thing to do. So therefore, I would oppose this bill.
Okay. Further comments from the committee? Senator Merchant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I prefer the enhanced incentives. I think that they're long-term and they send a strong message. And I think that these people have made a significant investment and to help change, you know, to help solve some of our problems. And I think they deserve a lot of credit for that. And I have a strong interest in creating and supporting homegrown energy. And using resources in a creative way is a great way to solve these problems. And I'd like to commend them on them taking the first steps. I think we should support this bill and promote it further. Thank you.
Further comments? Senator Howey.
Mr. Chair, I just would maybe someone on the committee could clarify for me, but my understanding is that this bill would not automatically give a $30,000 tax exemption, but it would in fact just exempt whatever the expenditures were up to $30,000. So if someone only put up one of these units and it was a $15,000 deal, they're not going to get 15,000 plus another 15,000 off of their current real estate assessment. We're only dealing with specifically the improvement that they've made. And if that's not an accurate assessment, I'd like to be corrected on that.
Okay. Further comments, Senator Gerstein?
Well, I think as I did say during the questioning part, I think going forward, if everybody does a little bit towards helping out our environment and our energy needs, which are growing exponentially day by day, we're all going to be fine. And I think it's time that all of us do a little bit. I did a little construction in an old house with old windows, about five new windows at the cost of about $9,000. I don't see anywhere on this form that's I'm going to get a rebate on that, but everybody's got to do a little bit to try to, you know, make energy last and use natural renewable sources. And I don't think this is going to cost anybody a lot of money, except maybe, you know, the person that does it's going to make an initial investment. I think we need to encourage this kind of activity. It used to be windmills on all the farms and so on. Now we're kind of coming full circle with that.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I love the idea. I have some reservations regarding not the unfunded mandates, but I guess I'd call them unwilling participants with school districts, counties, and municipalities. And would probably like to see more of an initial incentive and possibly a sunset at some point or a gradual reduction. However, after both sides of the testimony, I think I am inclined to send it to the floor and let it be discussed at that point.
Is that a motion?
It is now. I move to pass.
Okay, motion by Senator Nelson, seconded by Senator Merchant. All those, any further speaking to the motion? Those in favor of the motion will say yes. Those say no, and the secretary will call the roll.
Edelstein?
No.
Howie?
Yes.
Gerstein?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Frisley?
No.
Hansen?
No.
Three no's, six yes.
Okay, the motion will go to the floor, do pass on a 6-3 vote. We have some people from out of town that definitely want to have a chance to participate in Senate Bill 161, so we're going to take that up next. So are there proponents to Senate Bill 161? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Ben Nesselhoff. I'm the state senator from District 17. It is an honor to be before you today. There was not too many terms ago that I was a member of this esteemed committee, and it's just good to be back and see you.
Good to have you.
Senate Bill 161 is a bill that is, frankly, in concept is fairly simple, but there's a lot more to it than you would think on the surface. And I'm going to turn over for the bulk of the testimony to Lou Weinberg, who's very familiar with the details of this. But I do want to give you just the quick 30-second my feelings on this particular bill and why I brought it before you today. We have on the federal government side of things, we see certain incentives that they put out there to create certain developments, which are very good. And the problem is that we have the way it is being assessed on the local level, we have the county acting in such a way that they're creating a disincentive to these developments. So we're in a situation where the right hand is giving, the left hand's taken away. I don't think that's appropriate. So that's why it's before you. I would offer one suggestion for an amendment as well, Mr. Chairman. And as we were looking at this and talking with Mr. Kenyon, we realized in the last sentence that we were, in fact, going to demand a rebate of these taxes, and in doing everything I can to appease Mr. Kenyon, decided that wasn't probably the best idea. So I would suggest changing the January 1st, 2001 date to November 1st, 2008, which will only affect the upcoming year's property taxes. I think that's the most appropriate way to go forward. But just I wanted to offer that right away so that you see the bill in the form that it's really intended to be as you continue the debate. And I will happily step by for any questions, but I think Mr. Weinberg would be able to answer anything much better than I could.
So. Okay, very good, Senator. We'll act on that amendment when we get into the discussion stage. And good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Lou Weinberg from Sioux City, Iowa, and I appreciate Senator Nusselhoff's comments on this. And we've heard a lot of testimony already this morning on other bills that deal with abatements and credits. I think Senator Nusselhoff's comments about the federal government credit is of interest and applicable here in this case. Simply stated, the federal government provides tax credits for various things that come to South Dakota, historic preservation of old buildings, low-income housing tax credits, and certainly a variety of energy projects, whether wind, biofuels, or whatever. Those credits are typically used to offset federal income taxes, and what has happened in the case in point is that a local assessor has decided that they would tax those federal credits as real estate and add that to the value of the normal valuation of the property. And under that situation, we've ended up in an affordable, low-income elderly housing project, unfortunately, that is paying more taxes per unit in Clay County than any other residential building there. excuse me. I don't think that was necessarily the intent of the legislature or possibly the Department of Revenue, as no rules have ever been written to force this on any other class of property. So what we're asking basically is for the legislature to clarify that any federal credit that comes to the state, whether it's under this section, which is Section 42 of the IRS code, or those applicable to historic building rehabilitation or wind or energy credits, not be considered real estate for the purposes of assessment purposes. And in fact, what's happened in the property and case, I did pass out, ask the aide to pass out Article 11 of the state constitution, which makes it pretty clear, I think, in the highlighted section that this particular property, it says taxes shall be uniform on all property of the same class. And that is absolutely 100% not correct with this particular piece of property. We are being assessed differently than any other property in that class in Clay County. So we feel that probably the assessor is in the county is in violation of the state constitution, that aspect. So we're simply asking that the legislature consider in 161 the clarification that no federal credits coming into South Dakota as an incentive to develop affordable low-income elderly housing or rehab a historic building be taxed as real estate.
Okay. We'll take other proponent testimony, and then if there's questions, we'll offer opportunity for questions at the after the testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Other proponents, please, to Senate Bill 161.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Good morning, Representative.
My name is Dan Lederman, Representative from District 16. I'm going to do a me too on this. I think that Senator Nusselhoff explained it pretty good, and I just want to say Mr. Weinberg has joined in many efforts in my district to provide low-income housing, and I respect his efforts on that. But to get to the bill, what we're trying to do is take care of a problem that diminishes the incentive for private developers to go in and provide this type of housing. The intent of South Dakota Housing Development Authority is to alleviate this shortage of housing for elderly and low-income folks. This bill will provide basically a guard against assessors attacking this and taking away the incentive that was intended for these type of properties. Thank you, and I'll stick around for any questions.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Representative. Further proponents to Senate Bill 161. Further proponents? Okay, is the are there any opponents to Senate Bill 161? Anyone opposed? Senate Bill 161. Seeing none, we'll ask open for committee questions of any of those giving testimony. I could offer you an opportunity for rebuttal, but you don't have much to rebut.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would suggest you take the amendment, though, since I kept a seat.
We will.
I'll move the amendment.
Senator Merchant moves the amendment offered, which was, I believe even I can repeat, just striking out the date on line 9, and instead of saying January 1, 2001, it would be November 1, 2008, correct? Moved by Senator Merchant. We have a second by Senator Nelson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the bill 161 is now amended. Any further questions? Okay, we will jump ahead to committee action, and we have a motion for due pass by Senator Merchant, seconded by Senator Nelson. Speaking to that motion? If not, all in favor say aye. Those opposed say nay, and the secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Howie?
Aye.
Gerstad?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Frisley?
Aye.
Hansen?
Aye.
Unanimous.
What's got an amendment? B, is that right? Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second consent? Second moved by Senator Merchant, second by Senator Gerstad. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Senate 161 is amended. We'll go to the floor and on consent. Thank you. We will now move to Senate Bill 149. And we will welcome Senator Adelstein as the prime sponsor. One 149. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Senator.
Welcome to the Tax Committee.
Good to see you, as I have continually almost since I awakened. Senate Bill 149 seeks to...
Excuse me, even though we know you very well.
I'm Senator Stanford Adelstein. I'm from Pennington County in the beautiful Black Hills, District 32, the eastern half of one of the finest cities in the nation, Rapid City, South Dakota. Okay. I think I've identified myself. Senate Bill 149 seeks to redress an unfair political arrangement that was entered into in the last century. At that time, the concept of providing public school support by assessing some real estate value in one manner and in another class of real estate in a different manner was adopted by what was a compromise at that time, and I can't criticize, I wasn't there. But today, I am here. Today, I know that wealth is represented by real estate, and for that reason, property tax is used to support the schools. Under the past system, there's been a differential. Ag property was accessed at 263, non-ag Z at 363, owner-occupied 462, and other, and commercial primarily at 878. What I did is I sought to equalize the value of the two classes of property by averaging them. 263 on ag, and owner-occupied 462, and that average comes to 360 even. And, of course, what that does is reduces non-ag Z, but it seems to me to be fair. I did leave commercial property, which happens to be my manner of earning a living, but I did leave that at the full value, in fact, a few hundredths of a mil higher on commercial property, because it had been my understanding that this tax was used in lieu of a corporate income tax, and therefore it seemed to me to be a fair proposal. I'd like you to pass this on to the floor, and this will be a vehicle, just as a vehicle of Senate Bill 80 proposed by Senator Knudsen. Both vehicles will be there Before the session is over, when the exact needs are determined, then we will then arrive at the set mill levy, which we've done every year. We will arrive at that after we've arrived at a per pupil amount. So it's a bill whose time has come in terms of fairness, but whose implementation will surely be delayed till the end of the session. But I would like to have it go to the floor, and I would like to have it be in the hopper. Some of you have received a letter from me with regard to your communities, and so I won't speak any further to it. The hour is getting late. The facts have been argued rather frequently. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Further proponents to Senate Bill 94? No. Senate Bill 149. Further proponents to Senate Bill 149. Are there opponents to Senate Bill 149? Good morning.
Good morning, Chairman Hansen, members of the Tax Committee. Mike Held. I'm the executive and a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Farm Bureau. We rise in opposition to Senate Bill 149. This would, in our estimation and in some of the numbers I intend to share with you, would be a significant tax shift from one class of property to another. And it involves a number of moving pieces in our property tax equation and a number of moving pieces in our finance of local education across the state of South Dakota. So it's I would start out by saying it's very detailed and very complex, much more so than what shows up on these two pieces of paper in 149. I did have the opportunity to ask the Department of Revenue what the impact would be in raising the mill levy on ag land in taxes payable, and the numbers I got back from them, and we're talking about the general school levy portion of the tax bill only. Presently, ag land carries $55 million of that general school levy in the state of South Dakota. This would increase that to over $73 million, about an $18.5 million increase, which is almost a 33% increase in the school levy borne by farmers and ranchers across the state. Now, let's step back from the school levy. I don't mean to pretend to give you a tax seminar here, but the general school levy is one of only several hands full of levies that are on your tax bill. The only area where ag land pays less than owner-occupied, which is the gist of Senate Bill 49, is in the general school levy. In every other 10 or 15 or 20 levies on a property taxpayer's bill, the ag land pays exactly the same mill rate as the other classes of property, whether they be owner-occupied or whether they be a commercial property. In 2008, the total ag land taxes paid were $220 million. So if you add, you shift $18.4 million more onto that, this bill would increase ag land taxes payable next year by a little over 8%. And I say that's pretty substantial. We have about 30,000, just for a rough number, farms and ranches in this state. You can do the math as easy as I can, but an increase of $18.4 million would be a substantial increase in taxes payable by farmers and ranchers. Lastly, I would say that in the mid-90s, when we reformed how we finance education in this state and how we figure out what the state effort was and what the local property effort was, we put together, the legislature put together a very detailed and we think fair plan known as Cutler-Gabriel to decide how to apportion that state effort with the local property tax effort, and then also how to apportion that effort between ag owner-occupied and commercial properties. All of those moving pieces are in Senate Bill 149, and it's a much more complex and much more concerning bill to those of us in farming and ranching than what might appear here in the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Held. Further opponents to Senate Bill 149? Further opponents to Senate Bill 149? If not, Senator Adelstein, would you like a moment of rebuttal?
Indeed, I would.
Did he? Mr. Christian, were you wishing to testify? Okay, just Senator Adelstein, could you be at ease just a minute? There was another testifier here that just walked in.
Thank
you. Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Johnny Kirstein, South Dakota Farmers Union. I would just like to express our opposition to this bill for various reasons. Obvious reasons are increased taxes. So with that, I'll let you go back to where you were. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Now, Senator Adelstein.
With all due respect, Mr. Chairman, Stanford Adelstein in rebuttal, and I will not rebut any of the comments about the fact that there is a change in classes of property. I won't rebut the fact that there is some relief to owner-occupied property, which I think is proper under the philosophy of the rights of ownership. What I will argue, however, is the amount number of dollars that were given, because the ILRC and myself at great length went county by county on the value of property that was submitted to the in the governor's package based on the numbers in Senate Bill 80. The ag levy would be $23,764,598. The non-ag Z would be $937,106 for the first half of 2010, and that adds up to a 44, essentially doubling that. It adds up, I just did it, 24 million, it adds up to 48 million, not the 55 million that the state gave to the first opponent. And the state explained to me the way they did it is they took the handbook of the Department of Agriculture. They said there was $18 million something worth of land and multiplied it times the present levy, made no distinction between ag and non-ag Z, and they used one set of values which do not add up to the number of values that are specifically in the governor's package and that Senator Knutson included in 80. And so the numbers being in error, and I don't want to argue that fact excessively. Let us pass this bill out. Let us then see what we settle at the end of the session, which number will prevail. Thank you.
Okay. We'll open to committee questions. Questions from the committee? Seeing none, we will open to committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move due pass.
We have a motion due pass. Is there a second?
Mr. Chairman, substitute motion.
Senator Frisley.
41st day.
Okay, we have a motion to move to the 41st day. Is there a second? Seconded by Senator Peterson. Speaking to the motion, seeing none, those in favor of the 41st day motion will say aye. Those opposed, say nay, and the secretary will call the roll.
Adelstein.
No.
Howie.
Aye.
Gersted. Maher.
Aye.
Merchant.
Aye.
Nelson.
No.
Peterson.
Aye.
Frisley.
Aye.
Hansen.
Aye.
7-2.
Okay. Senate Bill 149 goes to the 41st day on a 7-2 vote. I believe that brings us to the end of our agenda this morning. A motion to adjourn would be in order. Moved by Senator Gerstad, seconded by Merchant. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? We are adjourned.